Amen. Thank you so much, Loretta. What a lovely special number this morning. Thank you for that. Take your Bible, please, now, and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel 25, some of the scripture we read a moment ago in the scripture reading, I will repeat in our reading this morning so that we can understand the context of this story. I'll ask you, as we read the scripture in a moment, to think about this as we're reading the Bible. Have you ever missed out on a golden opportunity? Has that ever happened to you? I bet if I asked people in this auditorium this morning, if I said, can you think of a time that you had an opportunity to do something and you didn't do it? You turned it down, and then you later on, not immediately maybe, but later on, you said, boy, that was a golden opportunity, and I didn't take the opportunity that I had. I think that's true of each one of us today. We could probably tell stories. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about an opportunity that he gives to each one of us. And some of us, unfortunately, don't take the opportunity. Matthew chapter 25, begin our reading at verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse number 14. This passage of the Bible is known as the parable of the talents. Now, remember, please, a talent was a unit of money. It was similar to what we might call a dollar bill or a $10 bill. A talent was a unit of money. It did not speak of having an ability, like he or she has a talent to play the piano or a talent to sing. It's speaking of a unit of money. And so remember that as we read through the story. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse number 14. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." It was customary, by the way, in that day for a very wealthy man to entrust the keeping of his goods or maybe even of his fields or his farmland or his ranch land into the care and keeping of someone called a steward. A steward was someone who was responsible for taking care of the wealthy man's goods. And so the Bible says that this man was going on a long journey. He called his servants together and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Note that, 5 talents. To another, different servant, he gave only 2 talents. And to another he gave 1. So in our parlance today, he gave $1 to one, and he gave $2 to 2, and he gave $5 to one of the others. So 3 men, each one receiving a different amount of money. And then the Bible says, and straightway he took his journey. Verse number 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. He invested the 5 talents that he was given. As a steward, his responsibility was not merely to hold the money as a bank would hold money, but his responsibility was to take that money, that $5, let's say, and invest it so that it would produce more. Now, we're told that the first man with the $5 took his $5 and he traded or invested the same and he made another 5 talents. That is, he made 100% profit. He did a great job with his 5 talents or his, we'll say, $5. Verse number 17. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So he gained, again, 100% profit. Now, that's incredible. The guy with the $5 turned it into 10. The guy with the $2 turned it into 4. Verse number 18. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He hid his Lord's money. Now, he was a steward, and he understood that his responsibility was to invest that money, to make more money, but he didn't do that. Later on, he'll even admit that he understood that his Lord wanted him to invest it, but he didn't do it. He hid his Lord's money. Now, pause with me for a moment. What would be the reason that he hid his money? Well, after studying the passage out, the Bible calls this steward, this servant, a wicked servant. Could it not have been that rather than investing the money where he would have had to invest it in the name of this individual, his Lord, perhaps he buried it in his backyard? By the way, when folks bury money in their backyard, we're always a little suspicious, aren't we? What are they trying to avoid? Taxes? What's the problem? Why are they hiding that money in the backyard? Could it not be that this steward buried that money in the backyard thinking that maybe his Lord, who had gone on a far journey, thinking that maybe his Lord would never return? That's possible. Had he invested the money, he would have had to done so in the name of his Lord. But had he taken the money and buried it in the backyard, he could have it there. And then in the event that maybe years would pass and his Lord wouldn't return, he could have dug up the money and kept it for himself. At any rate, whatever his motivation, he digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, After a long time, the Lord was gone for a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Reckoning day had arrived. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that is, bring my money to the bank. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. The least he could have done is invested the money in the bank. He would have at least had some interest to show. Not 100% profit, surely, but maybe some interest to show. Verse 28. Now this is interesting. And by the way, all of us in this room, we have sort of a sense of pity on this fellow who buried the money. We kind of have a sense of pity on him. And he failed at his mission. And the other two were a grand smashing success. And sometimes we have a tendency to kind of pull for the underdog a little bit. Boy, this guy blew it. He buried the money in his backyard. But verse number 28, look what Jesus said in relation to this. Take therefore the talent from him, that is from the 1 talent man, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Now here's the fellow who only had 1. And the Lord said, take that away from him. He didn't do anything with it. Take it away from him and give it to the guy that's got 10. The guy that doubled his money and the guy that had the most and did the best. Give it to him. Verse 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. Boy, this flies in the sense of our sense of kindness, doesn't it? Our sense kind of equality. Well, now, Pastor, if somebody doesn't have, we should give to him that doesn't have. We're talking about something different here. This man was irresponsible with the responsibility, the opportunity that God had trusted him with. And so he says, for unto everyone that hath shall be given. In other words, if you've done something, you'll get to do more. And he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, the guy who didn't do anything with his opportunity, shall be taken away even that which he hath. And verse number 30, Jesus said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If anything, this scripture teaches us is that life is not all equal. Now, before the law in the United States of America, we are all created equal before the law. There's no question about that. And before the law, the theory is, the ideal is, that there will be equal treatment under the law. I think those of us who are experienced enough in even current events understand that that is not always the case. Sometimes it's the guy that has the most money who can hire the best lawyers that gets off when he shouldn't get off. Sometimes it's the guy that has the most influence who is able to influence the judge or the decision. We understand that it's not fair. In this passage, Jesus is teaching that life in its opportunities isn't always fair. And it isn't always equal, and there is not everything given in absolute equality in this world. Now, folks, don't accuse me of heresy at this point. Understand something. In America, everyone has an opportunity. We'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, there are people that have a greater or larger opportunity than others. And I'm sure you understand what I'm saying here. There are people that are born into homes where they are better off. So they have an opportunity to get a better training. Having received better training, maybe they'll get a better job. I mean, that is just how life works. But in this passage, and what is interesting is this, that Jesus is teaching that while life is not always fair or equal, opportunities are always there. Now, did everyone catch that? Life is not always equal. You weren't born in the same economic level of family as the next guy. You weren't born in the same educational level of family as the next guy. Maybe the doors of opportunity in your life for some of these things have not swung open easily as they have for the next guy. And though life isn't always fair, and life isn't always equal, there are always opportunities. I want to talk with you about that for a moment. Opportunities. I asked you a bit ago, were you ever frustrated that you had a golden opportunity and you didn't act on it? Well, I'll tell you what, everyone in this room says, you know, I wish I had saved a little money and invested in a company called Microsoft years ago. Sure you do. Sure you do. I remember here, even in more recent history, remember when Kmart went belly up? Who could have thought that Sears would buy Kmart? Kmart stock was down to pennies! And everybody eschewed it except people who took the opportunity. And remember, my favorite example in recent days is dear old Martha Stewart. Dear old Martha. Martha, OmniMedia stock was soaring, and then it plummeted to nothing as she was handcuffed and hauled off to jail. You know what my thought was? At the moment that she went to jail, I had a fleeting thought that that would be the thing to buy. OmniMedia, a fleeting thought. You say, why, preacher? Because think about this. Now, I didn't, by the way. I didn't. I missed a golden opportunity. She was the goose that was laying the golden egg in prison, and I missed the golden opportunity. But you know what I thought to myself? I thought Americans love to take a villain and turn it into a hero. And she was a villain for her misdeeds in the investment world. But when she came out of there, she was a celebrity, a greater celebrity than she was when she went in. There was a national financial review paper that said that Martha made millions on her stay in prison. And when she gets done writing the book, yeah, you know where I'm going with this. It's an opportunity. I didn't buy any of it, so I missed out on that opportunity. Here, Jesus is talking about the fact, and this is what I want you to see this morning, first of all, that everyone has some opportunity. Everyone has some opportunity. I did not say that everyone has the same opportunity, because that would be ridiculous. But everyone has some opportunity. It means this: there is not a person in this world to whom God has not given some opportunity. Maybe it's one talent. We'll talk about that guy in a minute. Maybe it's the two talents. Maybe it's the five. But to every person in this world, God has given some opportunity. Let me give you an example of that. God has given some opportunity for everyone in this world to know the truth. To know the truth. Now, to some, He's given a larger opportunity than He's given to others. I'll illustrate that. The one talented individual, the one talent guy, we'll maybe say $1, the $1 guy, he only got $1. But there was still an opportunity to do something with the $1 that he had. Well, you say, preacher, you couldn't do anything with a dollar today. Wouldn't it be interesting to see how far somebody could go beginning with just $1? When I was in high school, we had this activity. Brother Phillips, I don't recommend that you do this youth activity, but we used to like it as kids. I think it's obnoxious now that I'm an adult, but this young person used to like it. We called it the bigger, better activity. Bigger, better. And the youth pastor would divide the whole youth group into different teams. And to each team, he would give a quarter, 25 cents, a 25 cent piece to each team. So each team started out with a quarter. Then he would take us to a very posh neighborhood in town, somewhere in town, and he'd say, you have 2 hours to horse trade with the people. Do you see how this is obnoxious? You have 2 hours to horse trade with the people who live in this neighborhood to take the 25 cents and make it bigger or better. And here's what you do. Now, folks, I'm not exaggerating. We do this. You knock on a door. He'd say, hello, my name is Mark Monty. I'm from Fourth Baptist Church of Minneapolis. We're having a youth activity. We call it the Bigger Better Activity. I need to trade what I have in my hand, starting out with a quarter. I need to trade this quarter with you for anything you have in your house that is bigger and better than a quarter. And you'd kind of have to explain it to people, and some people would think you were after them for some other reason, and it was hard to explain it. But once a person got it, they'd think, oh, wow, you know,
I've got this old coffee mug with a John Deere picture on the side of it, and that's worth more than a quarter. And so they'd haul out some piece of junk they had, and you'd give them the quarter, and they'd give you the coffee mug, and you'd go to the next house. Well, once you had that first object, it was easy, because you'd go to the next house, you knock on the door, you say, hey, you know, your next-door neighbor traded with me this coffee mug. But I know you can do better than a coffee mug, okay? So you get competition going here, and you would trade, and you moved on up. I'm not exaggerating. At the end of 2 hours, one group brought back a fishing boat and trailer. Now, it was not fancy, but it was, and by the way, I don't want any of you doing this, okay? Don't quit your job and go trading like that. But one group one time did bring back a not fancy fishing boat and trailer. Why? They took the small opportunity they had and they made it into something. Now listen, the one talent guy, maybe he's the guy that hasn't had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Okay, the five talent guy, he grew up in a Christian home. He heard the Bible from the time that he was little. He heard Bible stories. He went to Sunday school. He was in the church nursery. His parents were faithful to three services a week. And he's heard the Bible. He's heard the gospel. And maybe at a very early age, he trusted Christ as Savior because the truths of the Bible were in his soul from a child. What a great opportunity. By the way, mom and dad, you ought to give that opportunity to your children. Make sure they're under the preaching of the gospel. Give them all the opportunity to hear the truth. Here's the two-talent guy, though. Maybe he didn't come from a Christian home. Mom and dad never took him to church or anything, but one day, a bus worker knocks on his door. By the way, do you know what? The bus ministry is a huge blessing. I was in Pensacola, Florida this past week doing some seminary training, and I met a pastor who had been saved as a result of the bus ministry. Thank God for the bus ministry. Well, this fellow, the two-talent guy, he's not growing up in a Christian home, but someone knocks on the door and says, would you come to Sunday school, ride the bus to Sunday school? Mom and dad say it's okay. Kid gets on the bus. For the first time in his life, he hears the gospel in Sunday school, and he gets saved. Now, he didn't have all the opportunity of a Christian home that guy number five had with five talents, but he gets saved. He comes to Awana. He gets saved. He listens to the Word of God, and it grows in his heart. It changes his life. He's the two-talent guy. He's preached, what about the one-talent guy? The one-talent guy is that guy that lives out in Africa somewhere. He lives in a heathen country where the name of Jesus is never mentioned. You say, oh, pastor, that's not much of an opportunity. The Bible says that it is. Yet while his little tribe is worshiping an idol somewhere, this man walks out of his hut in the middle of the night and looks up into the starry skies of heaven and sees a million stars cast out upon God's heaven like diamonds on black velvet. And he says to himself, there's no way in the world that that idol could have created all of this. Paul in Romans chapter 1 said, that guy, he has an opportunity. Now, it's not as good an opportunity as the guy growing up in the Christian home. It's not even as good as the opportunity as the young person who rode a bus to hear the gospel for the first time. But he has an opportunity, Paul said, because all of creation speaks of the glory of God. If this man will be honest with himself, he has an opportunity because maybe he's never heard the Bible. Maybe he's never had any Christian teaching or Bible teaching. But still, in the back of his mind, he has a conscience. Preacher, what is the conscience? The conscience is the law of God written on the tables of our heart. We have a sense, even apart from Scripture, we have a sense that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And the fact that there is a creation that of which man can observe and a conscience which man can think about, it indicates God, and there is an opportunity for the seeking of truth. I'm saying everyone has some opportunity. Now, some have more than others. Equality is not the reality. Some have a greater intelligence, better training. They have a better life. They live in a better country. Pause with me for a moment. Oh, preacher, I don't know. There's nothing. I have no opportunities. I'm beating my head against a wall. I just can't go this way. I can't go that way. The economy's bad. Ah, the president, it's all his fault. No, it's not. By the way, the economy is very, very good. But if you were complaining, you'd have to say we're very, very bad. Or if you vote for the wrong party. Just kidding. Kidding, leave me alone. And the complaining, may I say this? There are people in this world who have nothing, who are dying to get over here with nothing. You say, why do they want to come here? It's an opportunity. It's a bigger opportunity than what they have. It's an opportunity. Everyone has some opportunity. No American should ever complain because by the grace of God, you've been born in the U.S. of A. And the U.S. of A is the land of opportunity. And there is no other nation on earth more sought after, whose citizenship is viewed as more desirable, whose shores are viewed as more lined with gold than is the United States of America. I'm saying today, we all have an opportunity. And Jesus said it was so. Everyone has some opportunities. Notice this, number two, God expects everyone to make something of his opportunity. Beginning at verse number 20 was reckoning day. And they came and brought the money that they had made, their interest, and they brought their principal. And two of the men, the 5-talented guy and the 2-talented guy, they had both done something with the opportunity. Now, God expected that of them. Why? They were stewards. It was their professional job to invest. I'll not ask you this morning, but if you have an investment account and if you don't do the investing yourself, you give the money to some other guy and he invests it and you expect the money to do something. And if it doesn't, or if it heads south, you're most disappointed when it does. Jesus here is saying this: everyone has an opportunity, and God expects everyone to make something of the opportunity. Beginning at verse number 20, he that received 5 talents brought the other 5. He that received the 2 brought the other 2. The Lord blessed them, the Lord praised them, and said, "This is wonderful, you've done a great work." But did you notice something as I read that a moment ago? The guy who brought 5 and the guy who brought 2, so they had 5 more and 2 more, received the exact same words of praise from God. Did you notice that? The exact same words. So the guy who had been given five, he got 5 back. He hears the same words from God. The guy who had 2 and was given 2 back, he hears the same words from God. It's not the size of your opportunity, but it's what you do with it that makes all the difference. In other words, it is the effort. Now, hear me, listen. So I was in seminary this week. I have a good friend, Pastor Ken Fielder. We go to seminary together. We sit next to each other. We have a good time in that class. I've never worked so hard in my life. We covered all the minor prophets this week. And I'll tell you something. My mind is just swimming with Jonah and Nahum and Habakkuk. My mind was just swimming. And that teacher gave about 30 pages of notes, typewritten notes, every day. And can you believe this? They had a test. On Wednesday there was one, and on Friday there was one. 2 tests. I was outraged. I've been doing this for 7 years and never took a test on it. I said to somebody, listen, I came here to learn, not to study. And I had to study for a test and work real hard. Boy, and this teacher, he meant business with all of it. He'd given all of us the class notes. We all had those as an opportunity. But you know what the truth is? Not everybody in the class had the same mental ability to get the same grade. And hence, when the papers were corrected and page after page of tests, I'm telling you, over an hour just to write the test. I mean, for me to just write in the answer, it was ridiculous. And by the way, no multiple choice. What in the world? This teacher said to me, I said, why don't Dr. Hollinger, why don't you have multiple choice? He says, because I don't think it's worthy of my time to sit in my office thinking up wrong answers. No, true and false. It was all stuff you had to know and you had to write it down. Not everyone. You're dying to know how I did, aren't you? 154 points. I got 152. And boy, was I disappointed, by the way. I did all right. Now, I don't know what I did on the final, so I'm not, and I may not know, and I'll never talk about it if I did bad. If I had done poorly, I wouldn't even brought this up, okay? Not everybody, though, got a good grade. Now, some didn't study, and that's their own fault. They didn't, listen, take the opportunity. But there are some that just didn't have the ability. Now, follow what I'm about to say here. When you stand before the Lord, the guy who worked real, 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 real hard and put forth the effort, he will hear the same thing as the guy who did even better and put forth the effort. Listen to me. It's the guy who doesn't put forth the effort that gets the condemnation from God. Does everybody follow me about that? That means this. If you're a preacher, let me put it into my way of thinking. If you're a preacher and Pastor Falls just moved from here to a church of about 30 members, and you're a preacher, you go down to that church of 30 members, you hear me, you work that church of 30 members. You work at that church as if it were a church of 5,000 members. Ah, I've only got 30 members, so I can play golf all week. No, you can't. Not and be right with God. You've been given an opportunity by God Almighty. Well, it's not the biggest opportunity in the world, so I don't have to work at it. No, you've been given an opportunity, and it doesn't matter if it is large or small. You put forth effort because it is exactly what God has said. Every young person in this room, you hear me about your schoolwork. He's a preacher. I'm just not mentally capable of getting an A. But if you're mentally capable of getting a B and you get a C, it's a sin against God because you're not putting forth the effort. Does everyone follow this? Everyone has an opportunity. God expects everyone to make something of the opportunity. And here's the good part. The more you make of your opportunities, the more you'll have. Look at verse number 28. What almost seems unfair. Jesus said, take therefore the talent from him. That's the one talent guy who didn't do anything with it. And give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. The more you make of your opportunities, the more opportunities you will have. Preach, what are you talking about? Take advantage of every opportunity where you are. Illustrate it this way. I went to Bob Jones University and enjoyed my 4 years of education. It was wonderful. I majored in Bible, English Bible, and I minored in New Testament Greek. But beyond that, there were all kinds of classes that I could have taken just as extra things. In fact, by my senior year, I was able to do so much early on in my 4 years of study that by my senior year, I was able to take the minimum amount of hours that you could take and still remain a dormitory student. Okay, there was I think it was maybe 12 hours. I can't remember, but a minimum amount of hours you had to take to remain in the dorms. And so, boy, my senior year, I went into my advisor, Dr. Stuart Custer's office. I went into Dr. Custer's office and I sat down and I showed him what I was going to do my senior year. And he looked at that and he said, Monty, he said, you're only taking 12 hours this semester. And I said, yeah, I said, Dr. Custer, isn't that wonderful? I took so much early on that now my senior year, I can just coast. I don't have to worry about this. I'll just take the 12 hours. Dr. Stuart Custer looked at me and he said, you're lazy. And then he said, God doesn't need any more lazy preachers in the pulpit. Boy, oh boy. You talk about some guy bursting your bubble. What he was saying is this. You have an opportunity at this school to take all kinds of courses that you're paying for this opportunity, and all you're trying to do is get by with the bare minimum. Why don't you take courses outside your program? Hear me, folks. When we have an opportunity, the more you make of it, the larger your opportunity will become. Take, for example, this. As a Christian, watch this. Christians in the room, if you're born again, watch this. See this Bible? Do you know what this represents every day of your life? It represents an opportunity. What do you mean, preacher? You have the opportunity to read the Word of God. I was with a pastor this week who works with an organization that prints Bibles and portions of Bibles for language groups that do not have the Bible. There are dozens of language groups in this world where there isn't any Scripture. But you have an opportunity because the Bible, the Word of God, is on your coffee table. You have an opportunity to open this book. And every have that opportunity. Well, preacher, you know, I get busy. No, we have time for what we have time for. Never use time as an excuse. We have time for what we want to have time for. I have an opportunity to grow as a Christian. Now, you look at me. Do you know why you haven't grown as a Christian and you've been saved for 20 years? You want to know why? Because you've been like the guy with one talent, you don't take the opportunity to read the Bible. You want to talk about the Christians, and by the way, there are some young Christians who've been saved only a year or two in this auditorium right now, and you've been growing like a weed spiritually because you've taken the opportunity, and as you've taken the opportunity, God has caused you to grow. I'm simply saying that when you make the most of the opportunity that you have, God will give you more opportunities. It's like this, by the way, in your workplace. When you work, do your best for the boss, you sign on as the new employee, you not only do your work, but you go over and above and beyond. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. The union will come down on me. Ignore the union. You go above and beyond and do more than your responsibility. And you know what? When it's promotion time, guess who the boss looks at for promotion? Watch. You took your opportunity, you made the most of it, and then God says, okay, here's another opportunity based upon the fact that you've taken this opportunity. Does everyone follow this? This is how the kingdom of God will work. One day, the Bible teaches the Lord's going to wrap up everything here on earth after a terrible tribulation period. And He's going to bring in a 1,000-year reign of Christ. But when Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem, He will not rule and reign by Himself, but He said that He would appoint people to be under rulers, or those who would be in His government, in His divine government. Oh, you said, preacher, what a wonderful day that will be. Maybe the Lord will make you mayor of Avon. Oh, I would love that. I'd eat that up. Mayor of Avon. He won't do it if I haven't been faithful to my opportunities now. Because what I get in the future is all based on what I'm doing now. And there are a lot of us are going to get to heaven, and the Lord's going to be passing out opportunities and responsibilities in His kingdom. And then we're going to come to the end of the line. Lord, isn't there anything for me to do? Oh, yeah, I think, I noticed there was a spill over there on the Golden Street. Go mop that up. Why? Because we haven't been faithful with the opportunity we've been given. As a Christian, I have the opportunity of prayer, but do I? I have the opportunity of Bible reading, but am I reading? Am I growing? But I want you to see one last thing, and I think one very important thing. Notice in verse number 30, something very sad happened to the unprofitable servant. Jesus said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." At the beginning of the message, I hinted to the fact that the unprofitable servant possibly had an ulterior motive of keeping his Lord's money. After all, he buried it in his backyard. Perhaps he had an ulterior motive. Perhaps he didn't really believe that his Lord would come again. His Lord had gone to take a far journey. And the Bible says, after all, it was a long time that his Lord was gone. Maybe over that time period, this unprofitable servant, the one Jesus calls the wicked servant, maybe after that long time period, he said, well, you know, he's not coming back. He's been gone far too long. I bet something bad happened to him in that other country. I'm not going to worry about investing this because, after all, I don't think he's going to come back. Boy, there came a day of reckoning. The unprofitable servant possibly didn't believe that this Lord was returning. The unprofitable servant did nothing with his opportunity. Let's parallel this to truth. There are people in this room right now. You're hearing the gospel, maybe some of you for the very first time, that you can be saved through personal faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. You can't do anything to make it to heaven on your own. Going to a certain church isn't going to do it. Getting baptized doesn't get you to heaven. Being religious, doing good. Oh, well, Pastor, I keep the Ten Commandments. That cannot get you to heaven. The reason Jesus died on Calvary's cross is for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in this room is a sinner. Because of our sin, we deserve punishment and death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. When we die in our sins, we deserve punishment. God is a just God. He doesn't let you just get by with your sins and usher you glibly into heaven. Being a just God, you must pay a price for your sin. And the Bible says that that payment for sin is outer darkness, the place that the Bible calls hell. But you have an opportunity right now. You're here today, you'd say, Pastor Monty, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I've never taken an opportunity to trust Christ. You have an opportunity this very moment. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, I like to think about that a little while. Maybe I'll do it next week. I can't promise you you have the opportunity next week. Why? Because no man knows what the day is going to bring forth. You can't tell if you'll even be here next week. None of us is planning to die, but we can't really make plans for that now, can we? And because life is uncertain, I can only promise you the opportunity that you have right now. At this very moment, you have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. Don't bury that opportunity in the backyard. Don't say, no, I'm not going to trust Him. I'm not going to be saved. Don't one day stand before God, the judge of all the universe, having neglected that most important opportunity. Jesus said there'll come a day when all men will one day stand before God. Those who have not trusted Christ as Savior, the Bible teaches Jesus said that the angels would carry that individual into a burning lake of fire. You say, why is that, preacher? Because they didn't answer the opportunity. Don't be like the unprofitable servant. If you're without Christ this morning, turn to Him. Say yes to the opportunity of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I pray the thoughts of the message would help us today. Lord, help us as Christians, those of us who know Christ, to understand the great opportunities we have, that life is based upon filling those opportunities, fulfilling them, and how you can bless when we do. Father, for any here that are without Christ, help them to know that today, right now, they have an opportunity to respond in saving faith. You've invited them to come, but Father, they must make the choice. Lord, help today that some will come to Jesus. We pray it in His name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Our heads